This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and TickSplits.com. TickSplits.com, no service fees. The price you see is the price you pay.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted, though. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. My name is Aldo Gandia. I am Mike's wingman, and we're going to talk a little Chicago Bulls today. That's right. The Chicago Bulls made some headlines when they made a big trade this week, so we're going to talk to Mike about that and John Paxson's reaction to the criticism he's getting as the top man over at that organization. We will, of course, talk about our Chicago Bears, and we'll see what else we come up with. All with the guy, the man, my buddy, Mike North. How are you, my friend?
What's going on, Aldo? We're ready to go. It's another Friday, a little chilly out there. I mean, we're going to be playing this thing all weekend long because a lot of the stories we're going to be talking about are going to stay with us more than a weekend. They're going to stay with us for years because, you know what, you can have what you think may be the best plan in life, and then you turn around, the next thing you know, you're sleeping in a cardboard box. Where did it all go wrong? So we'll try to straighten this whole mess up as far as Chicago goes. We got national stuff to talk about, and we also got some picks.
We do. I left that out of the tease. You're going to make a couple of NBA picks today, aren't you?
Going to make a couple NBA picks. As you know, I'm one of America's foremost gambling experts. Although I saw a top 50 list, and it was filled with kiss asses from the mainstream media, I didn't make the cut. It was hilarious, and you know, a couple other handicappers I know didn't make the cut, who, quite frankly, when they're sleeping, can pick games better than half of the people that were on that list. The only thing those people can pick is their noses, and half of them will eat their boogers. Why did I have to go that extra mile? Can I just stop at one point? Do I have to throw down the gauntlet at the very beginning of the show? I don't get it.
That's right. Now, are you going to calm down, or are you just going to continue to attack, attack, attack?
Well, attack, attack, attack is something that used to happen. Now it's like we're going to attack, and then we're going to be yelled back at, and then we're going to back down. And then we're going to attack again, and then we're going to get yelled at, and then we'll back down instead of yelling back. Think you're full of crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That is hilarious. All right, my friend, let's start by talking a little bit about the Chicago Bulls. They made a big trade this week. They traded away one of their former number one draft picks, Bobby Portis. They traded away their prize free agent acquisition during the offseason, Jabari Parker. They traded away a draft pick, and in return, they got Otto Porter, the big, I think he's about 6'8" swing man who, you know, analytics people love him because he shoots well, although he doesn't average nearly 20 points, I think about 15 points for his career. He gets rebounds and so forth. He's kind of a poor man's Scottie Pippen, for lack of a better way of describing.
Oh my God. Stop right there. I don't even like Scottie Pippen, but this is where we're going as a media. I mean, I don't like Scottie, but I respect Scottie enough to never put Otto Porter in the same word or the same sentence as Scottie Pippen. Nothing against you, Aldo. This is what's being set up. This is called fake news.
Yeah.
They'll figure out a stat to make you like a guy that the Bulls are going to pay $55 million to for the next 2 years. I ask everybody out there, if I went up to any of you and said, you can have Otto Porter, it's going to be $55 million. If you said okay, you don't know crap about basketball. Absolutely nothing. You have a team in Washington that had Otto Porter, Beal, and John Wall. And they can't even get out of their own way. And now we're supposed to be happy about it, while basically Washington is rejoicing that they got rid of that huge contract. Mm. The Bulls take it on because no other big-time free agent will even come there because of this, the dysfunction in the front office. Period. That's the way it is. They are the pariah in the NBA now, along with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, it's funny that you say that because John Paxson was at WSCR, your old hunting grounds, and Dan McNeil, you know, this was about a 25-minute interview, and McNeil really let him have it with some tough questions and so forth, and this was Paxson's reaction to the questioning at about that 20-minute mark of the 25 minutes.
Every time I come on now, these become interrogations. They're not interviews. They're interrogations. And, you know, we come in our positions, we come on respectfully, okay? And we get asked a lot of tough questions. I've answered, I answer every tough question. I'm probably as direct and honest an executive as there is in the city. I don't sugarcoat things. I answer honestly. And then,
what do you think? Does this sound like an embattled NBA executive to you?
Oh, it's a victim. He's a victim. John Paxson's a victim. I compliment Dan McNeil for asking him whatever got him pissed off a little bit. Mm-hmm. John Paxson, when does he ever get in front of the press? How much does he really get in front of the press? He doesn't have to be accountable to him every day. This is a man who went down in the locker room. And I liked John Paxson. Okay? It has nothing to do with personality here. And a lot of the media keeps their distance from getting on John because John has a red ass, okay, number one. Number two, after 20 minutes of being a complete vomit bucket for 6-7 years, you get a little testy over a tough question. There's a reason why John Paxson is around. It's not because he's good. He is the front office version of Marvin Lewis. He's got a friend up top named Jerry Reinsdorf. He follows the company line. Nobody has changed his tune more than John Paxson since he took over. John Paxson can't get out of his own way. And if you picked teams, you'd beat him picking teams. He just hasn't found himself. He just hasn't. I mean, take a look at what we've had. He picked up Cameron Payne. What was the reason for that? When you pick up somebody and Mike North says right from the get-go, don't do it, and you do it, it's more proof that John Paxson, if he had listened to me over the last 10 years, they might be viable because I said don't ever lose your top players because you don't know what's going to happen 3 years down the line. If they had kept the players they had, I don't care if it's Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Meritic, whatever, LeBron left. And nobody's talking about that. That's a wide open East. The Bulls blew it. They thought LeBron was never going to leave. You've got to have some perception in life. You've got to be able to speculate. And you got to have that gut. John Paxson does not have the gut to lead a team to an NBA championship.
And Paxson,
he's got guts to win. He's got guts to play in them. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have guts to put together a team or to stand up to the man and say, let's go.
Paxson, trying to defend himself, said that he has turned around this franchise before two other times. And so he's pleading with the fans to have some patience. This is what he said. I got a 30-second clip here that relates to the Chicago Bears. I'd like you to listen to it and then comment on the other end.
You know, I'll point to the Bears. The Bears were last in their division for 4 years in a row. They drafted well, and now they're back, you know, and back in the picture. It takes time. And so if people don't have trust in that, then we'll find out in time. But I know we've done it before, and we have great confidence that we're going to do it again. And I don't know what else. I don't know how else to answer those questions or those criticisms. We're going to continue to try to do it, and it's going to take time.
What do you think?
How long's he been the GM of the Bulls?
I think it's been like 15 years or so.
My God, you didn't get there 3 days ago or 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago or you know what? Not even 5 years ago or 7 years ago. Look, even the Bengals made the playoffs every so often. That's why he's the Marvin Lewis of general managers. The Bengals would crap the bed for 2 years. Then they make the playoffs and lose. Then they crap the bed for a couple more years or 3 years, and you're trying to compare football with basketball. It should be easier for basketball. But when you're making pickups like Cameron Payne, when you get rid of a guy like Miritich, who I said should have stayed, only, listen to this, only in the Reinsdorf organization can you beat somebody up and get promoted. And it's a violent organization. Didn't John Paxson go downstairs and in front of the team choke Vinny Del Negro?
That's right.
Yes. All right. So now, I mean, seriously, now you got a guy like Miritich who's going to Milwaukee or whatever. They love him. They love the pickup. Yeah. And Bobby Portis, they picked wrong again.
Mm-hmm.
They picked wrong again. And then Bobby turns down and gives the Bulls a break by turning down a restricted free agent contract. Thank God he saved Paxson from being even dumber than he already is.
That's right. It seems to me like the problem with the John Paxson era in Chicago is that he's been unable to land a true superstar player other than Derrick Rose. And in that interview, Paxson himself admitted that he was lucky to get that superstar player. But aside from that, he has been unable to lure free agents who are superstar players. And the reason is because he's never been able to draft a superstar player. He's drafted good complementary players, but never been able to put together a superstar team based on his draft picks. Is my assessment there close to reality?
And it's also the bad pickups they make.
Yep.
I still can't get over Cameron Payne being picked up this year. Forget about all the other pickups that they've made that haven't worked. Jabari Parker was a disaster. He was an absolute disaster. But when you heard him talk about him at the beginning, they loved him. Then you hear the exit interview with Gar Forman and these guys, and it, you know what? It was a mistake. Mm. Well, how many mistakes are you allowed? You can't go, we're going to get it right. Derrick Rose did fall into his lap. That was a lucky thing. If it doesn't happen, the Bulls don't even enjoy those years because he can't put together a team. And if he does, once he puts it together, they break it up. Mm-hmm. Taj Gibson's gone. Jimmy Butler's gone. Miritich is gone. I mean, Thibodeau is gone. I mean, these guys are all viable professionals at what they do, and every time there's a problem, it's the coach's fault. Whether it's Thibodeau, Del Negro, Skiles, I mean, you name it. It's always the coach's fault and never the man upstairs. His lack of accountability and his bragging about doing something twice before that really amounted to nothing at the end of the day is mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been very critical over... you like that when I do that, right?
I ain't right if I don't get one of those once a show. I'm rolling now.
You're going to get three a show is what you get.
I love it. Well, you know what? I'm not the one going through a transformation here. You are today because Eldo, as everybody knows, is the brainchild with the greatest Bears website going, BearsBarroom.com. So it's not me who's talked about all these sports all my life. It's the guru of Bears Bar Room talking some Bulls basketball.
Well, and I'll tell you, I went to a lot of games when Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls, and I was very critical of Jerry Krause during that era, but you got to give the guy credit. He built the supporting cast around Michael Jordan. He drafted Scottie Pippen. He drafted Horace Grant. He went out and traded for Bill Cartwright. He went out and acquired John Paxson, a good shooting guard, Scottie Kerr, a good shooting guard. Dennis Rodman, who I was against the whole Dennis Rodman thing, but it ended up paying huge dividends. So you got to give credit to Jerry Krause for assembling the supporting cast around Michael Jordan that took them to six championships, and it just doesn't seem like Paxson is capable of doing something like that.
Paxson never took the heat Krause took from the press. Never. Was never insulted like Krause was. The players insulted him. You know who insulted him? Michael Jordan. Hey, Mike, how's your team doing? Jerry Krause would run circles. He'd get tired because he was a little heavy, but he'd run circles as far as being a front office executive over Jordan and Paxson. He's in another hemisphere, but the press treated him like they treat other people that it's fashionable to treat or they don't agree with. And they treated him like crap. The players treated him like crap. Reinsdorf didn't put him into the Hall of Fame before he got in, which is a joke.
Right.
Jerry Krause is one of the top general managers who ever lived. I was never against the Rodman deal. I was all for it, and so was Jordan, because Jordan said we can't win without a rebounder, because, you know, they had gotten rid of Horace Grant, and people were ringing and crying, oh, we're never going to get another rebounder. Dennis Rodman crapped bigger than Horace Grant, okay? I mean, to think you couldn't replace Horace Grant, but Horace Grant was accessible to the press. Look, the press is 80% propaganda. Back then, to beat up Jerry Krause, and if you did, and I beat him up sometimes, mm-hmm. because, you know what, of some moves.
Right.
You know what? But I do know this, and he took some tough interviews with me. He, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, everybody, if you criticize Jerry Krause, you got egg on your face. Sorry.
Right.
His bad years were the later years. I understand that. But he built around Jordan. And Jordan, if he doesn't admit, and I think Jordan has, in a way, that Krause was a big part of that team, then he's as ignorant as everybody else.
Do you think it was fair for John Paxson to compare what he is doing with what the Chicago Bears did? Because I have a problem with that comparison, and I'll give you one reason why. Khalil Mack. Ryan Pace was able to close the deal on acquiring the best defensive player, or maybe the second best defensive player in the entire NFL. He attracted him here. He had to close the deal. He had to make the trade. And that's something that John Paxson has never been able to do, is close the deal on a great free agent player. What do you think about his comparison to the Chicago Bears?
Absolutely right on, Aldo. Absolutely, you got it all right. John Paxson, excuse me, can talk any way he wants. You could bring up the Bears. It's a different game. You got to put 53 plays. Can you imagine? Paxson can't find 12 guys. Can you imagine if he had to find 53? I mean, seriously, you're comparing yourself to a top football executive this year who took his beatings. By the way, yeah. Ryan Pace has taken 10 times the beating
yeah.
in 4 years or 3 years than Paxson's ever taken.
Yeah.
He hit a shot a long time ago. He's friends with the media. And, I mean, if you look, and yesterday I didn't hear the interviews, the cuts, it doesn't surprise me that Danny McNeil mm-hmm. would be the guy to do the pressing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's old school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't think you'll see a lot of interviews like that from Johnny Pack, so I give him credit.
Yeah, and folks who want to listen to that interview, you can find it on Twitter or at the WSCR.com website. They do have that 24-minute interview isolated. And so if you are a fan of listening to a basketball executive squirm in his seat, that's a good one to listen to.
Well, I'm not going to give any plaudits because the Holes are making a guide in 17 years. He hasn't won crap
yeah.
Squirming in the seat.
Yeah.
He should have been knocked back on his ass.
Mm.
So why I say you can be tough, this should have been a McCaskey moment. So it doesn't do any, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know what? There's been people take 10 times the beating that John Paxson takes.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
I mean, he's been given a honeymoon in this town by the weak-ass mainstream media, period. And if you follow the Bulls or you read Bulls.com with the very overrated Sam Smith, read it. Period, because Sam works for the company.
Yeah. You know, and I take one of the things in that interview that really bugged me is when John Paxson is complaining about, this isn't an interview anymore, it's an interrogation. Hey, it's the media's role.
That's what an interview is.
Right. It's the media's role to be adversarial, to ask you tough questions, to put you on the spot. Like Mike North has said, you've gotten away without the tough questions for over 10 years, and now that you're getting them, you can't handle the heat. This guy needs to go. I am sorry.
Here's what I'm going to say. When you call an interview an interrogation and you make yourself available very sparsely, you don't have the thick skin. You don't. Don't tell me you have the thick skin and tell everybody how great you've done when you've done nothing. The goal is to win an NBA championship and to be in the playoffs on a consistent basis. And you know what? I heard they were tanking. He says he's done this twice before. Listen, this is the Bulls' fifth rebuild in the last 7 years. At least. Every time they suck every year, you know what the media says? They're tanking. Like I've said before, if you wanted to use that argument this year, you could. because there's a kid from Duke and another guy that might be very, very good. But to say you were tanking in the past as an excuse for your ineptness as a general manager, Gar Forman, and as the president of the organization or whatever the hell he is, vice president, John Paxson, is just BS. It's absolute nonsense. And you know what? He had his feet held to the fire for one day. Now you won't see the guy for 2 months. Give me a break.
Ace Daniels in the chat room says that Paxson sounds as sensitive as Kevin Durant. So I'll ask you the question. Who's more sensitive, John Paxson or Kevin Durant?
Well, it sounded like Pax from what I read and what I just heard.
Yeah,
it sounds like Paxson because Kevin Durant has to face these questions every day.
Yeah.
And John Paxson as a player, he never had to face tough questions,
true,
really.
True.
You know, I mean, he was a nobody till he came to the Bulls.
That's right.
Three guys should give a portion of their livelihood to Jordan. Steve Kerr, John Paxson, and Luke Longley. Period.
Oh my gosh, Luke Longley. Oh, what a great name to bring up.
The guy owns 26 miles of beachfront property. He wouldn't own 26 feet unless Jordan had been on his team.
Oh my gosh, how true is that? Let me ask you a question. If you were owner of the Chicago Bulls during that Michael Jordan era, how would you have treated Jordan towards the end of his career? Because to me, it's one of the great travesties in all of Chicago sports that Michael Jordan has no relationship with the Chicago Bulls at the end of his career and post-career. How would you have handled the whole Jordan situation?
Well, really, they handle it the same way they've handled Butler and Thibodeau and everybody else. They told him to get lost.
Man.
Now, it's not about how I would handle it. Here's what I know.
Okay.
When you're great at anything, there are people out to get you. There are people that will remember what you did. And you know what? With the Bulls don't want to spend a lot of money. Once they see the door starting to close, the loyalty factor goes. That's why they can't get any free agents. For instance, whether I like Phil Jackson or not, he was sent packing. Whether I like Michael Jordan or not, which I do like Michael, he was sent packing. Everybody that does something good for the Reinsdorf organization, like Thibodeau or anybody else, if it overshadows, or if they have a mind of their own and want to try something different and don't follow the company line, they're sent packing. And the Bulls are famous for taking their stars and kicking them into you-know-whats, period.
And
the White Sox, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're seeing two teams owned by the worst owner in professional sports. He used to be the best 20 years ago. Jerry Reinsdorf owns the Bulls and the Sox, and I've told you they followed the game plan. And the dumbass people in the media keep thinking Rick Hahn's running the White Sox and Gar Forman is running the Bulls. They couldn't be more wrong, but that's what they present you because it takes them off the hook for Paxson and Kenny Williams. And it also helps Kenny and Paxson that they have a flunky and a puppet underneath them to really mask the decision-making by Reinsdorf and by Williams or by Reinsdorf and Paxson, period. The third man in command ain't making the calls.
So what should the fans of those two teams, the Sox and the Bulls, do? Should they boycott games? Should you just raise holy hell? What do you think they should do?
The Bulls are entertaining as far as the halftime shows. The kids like them. They're always going to go there. They've got a good package over there. It's a different type of game. It's a beautiful stadium. It's not hard to get to. So I think, and Jordan set such a great precedent that he's the guy that built that fan base to where they lead the league in attendance most years, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bulls fans have become the Cup fans of the 80s.
Good point. Yeah,
they become the Cup fans of the 80s. We don't care if you suck. We'll keep eating the bowl of crap that you've given us. Give me a bigger spoon. I'd like more. And we'll have some podcasts that support. I mean, really, when you have a Bulls podcast and you read positive things at this juncture, okay? Well, what you are is, which is fine, you're fans.
Yeah.
And you got, you know what? But to me, like I said at the beginning of the season, I remember one of the guys that runs one of those, and I have nothing against Bulls podcasts. I mean, we talked good about the Bears with Bears Barroom. I'm sure you guys did even when they were sucking. You talked about individual players. You helped things out. I have nothing against it. They helped get the word out.
Right, right.
But when you do a podcast, I remember putting on Twitter at the beginning of the year, one of the guys saying, hey, only 15 more days till the Bulls come. And I said, I can wait. And you know what this guy said? He said, oh, sorry, Mike, we didn't get your clearance first. No, you're a ball washer, and now look what you got. I could have waited another year for this. This is like knowing you're going to get the swine flu every single year as soon as the Bulls start.
Interesting. You know what? I have got to tell you this.
Am I being a little bit too opinionated today? Do you think I should take it back like terrestrial radio?
Let me think. No. Keep it coming.
Just telling the truth as I see it. I always have. And you know what? I always will. And, you know, you could get your glad-handers all you want. I'm sure that when he came on yesterday, all these stations, the nonsense. Look what I've done, guys. Well, that would have been where I said, what have you done? What have you done? I mean, you had Derrick Rose. He got hurt. Bad luck.
Right.
Bad luck.
Right.
No doubt about it. But you got lucky to get him.
Right. And so, he admitted that he got lucky with the acquisition of Derrick
Rose. So that wasn't him.
Right. Exactly.
He was at the dice table, and he rolled a seven. But he's been rolling craps. He's been rolling snake eyes out of the 17 years for 15, and he's trying to tell everybody he's a good gambler.
Yep, that is true. You see, I've been in the communications business for a long time, and here's what I tell executives when they're faced in situations like this. I tell them, go out there and tell them that you have screwed up. That it's on you. Take blame. Take responsibility. Tell them that you can do better and that you're hoping and praying that fans give you another chance to be patient and so forth. But instead, he goes on this interview and he's like deflecting and playing the woe is me card and stuff. Wrong. You're just going to create more animosity towards you. If you would have gone out there and said, I'm sorry, I've just not done a good job. I'm working really hard with Gar and to correct this, and we're going to turn this around. I'm going to tell you how we're going to turn this around. Instead, he just played the woe is me card.
Well, you know, I might take my mom to church Sunday. I'm going to look up at the Stations of the Cross, being a Catholic, and you know, I'll look at the one station where John Paxson carries the cross and falls for the second time. The victimization card is something that a lot of people do. I never dreamt that Paxson would use it. But then again, how much criticism did John Paxson ever come under as a player?
Yeah.
You know, he was the seventh guy you'd go to. He hit some big shots. He was clutch. It's very hard to match anything that you did as a player. Ask Michael Jordan, who gets, by the way, a break. He gets a break. When is somebody going to say, hey, Mike, remember Krause? He said this and that. Why can't you? And you laughed at him. You called him crumbs. Where's your team? I watch. You got Kimball Walker and a bunch of misfits.
It's true.
I mean, seriously, where's your team? You know, all these guys that get to run teams that were players. How about Magic Johnson? Mm. How'd that whole thing go?
Yeah.
You know what? The one thing I would never do if I owned a team is hire a former basketball player as my GM.
Yeah.
Period. Not many succeed. Some do, but not many succeed.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some names that have succeeded.
Red Auerbach was a 5'4", cigar-smoking guy that could have owned a deli.
That's right.
For God's sake. And he's one of the greats. Now, Jerry West is an anomaly.
Mm.
Jerry West, guess what? West built the Lakers.
Yep.
He leaves the Lakers and goes over to Golden State. Figure that one out.
Yeah.
Because you lost the top executive. That's where they make their mistakes.
Yeah.
What, are you pushing Jerry West out? And Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, I always said this, Eldo. I'm sorry, I'm filibustering, but I got so much on my plate about this Bulls thing. Phil Jackson, you know why Todd Musburger, June Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Phil Jackson,
mm-hmm.
they all tried to say I was a racist and I was this and I was that. I said, no. How am I a racist? Because I criticize players and stuff like that. You know what I said one time? Because June Jackson came up to me. at the 3-point shootout, comes up to me. I don't even know who she is. She goes, "I'm June Jackson." I go, "Well, I just don't like your attitude or your racist attitudes." I go, "What are you talking about?" Right at the Bulls game.
Wow.
Right at the Bulls game. So Todd Musburger and Phil Jackson, who I said, this is all I said, if Phil Jackson had to build a team from scratch, instead of being the guy that had the best seat in the house and watch Michael Jordan, if he had to build a team from scratch, he couldn't do it. That's why you can't call him the greatest of all time. That's why you can't pass him up with, you can't say Pat Riley's not as good or Red Auerbach, because they built their rosters. Guess what happens? Phil Jackson gets the job with the Knicks, okay? He couldn't run a Culver's when they were closed, okay? Period.
You know, I love the NBA in so many ways, but I just hate what has become with the NBA, where all the star players just want to congregate to one team and build these superstar teams, and the average market teams or teams that are run by incompetents like the Chicago Bulls just have no chance of competing. You've got five or six teams at most in the NBA that you would want to sit down and watch play each other. It should be like a six-team NBA league. It's not the way it was during the Jordan era, where Jordan said, there's no way I would play with another team. There's no way that I would ever leave the Chicago. There was this loyalty to the franchise, despite the fact that the franchise didn't really return that loyalty. It's just become ugly. Ace Daniel says that it's lazy, and I kind of agree with that. I kind of agree that the NBA has just turned into a lazy league, and you're not letting GMs be GMs, and you're letting players run the league. It just feels, you know, like a waste of time a lot of times when I sit down to watch an NBA game. I'll be honest with you. And I love the sport, and I love the entertainment that they've provided over the years. Hey, I've been watching the Chicago Bulls since before the Artis Gilmore days. Dennis Autry playing against the Boston Celtics at the old Chicago Stadium and throwing elbows and playing football while he should be playing basketball. I've been there, paid $25 to stand up and watch a Bulls playoff game against the Celtics. Love the NBA. It's just different now, and it feels like the league needs to restructure. They need to save NBA basketball for fans, because it's just becoming too centered on a few teams. That's my filibuster for the day.
You done? Everything you said is passionate, and that's the way it should be. Here, do you think I really want John? John Paxson and I golf together. John Paxson, nobody plays John Paxson more than me. But at a point, you can't let friendship cloud, or acquaintance cloud, your judgment. You can't let ownership and fear of being ostracized as a reporter cloud your judgment. Nobody in the media, for the most part, I'm not going to say everybody, right, has any credibility when it comes to the Bulls. None, because nobody's telling the truth. Now, I will say this. I look at what people have done, and then I judge them by that. And if you've been somewhere for 15, 16 years, okay, and you haven't won yet, it's time to go. But this is the same organization or owner that's won one World Series in like 40 years. And they act like that's an achievement. That is an indictment, man.
Yeah.
That is an indictment.
Yep.
My God, Eddie DiBartolo, if he would have gotten the White Sox, he would have won 3 or 4. I'm sorry. Would have spent the money. And you know what? What's really funny is the White Sox, even, they've never really matched their early free agent signing of Pudge Fisk, ever. Yeah,
that is so true. Yep. That is very true.
They signed the best free agent Reinsdorf ever signed. And you could bring up other guys if you want. Maybe I'm forgetting about somebody. But listen, this is the organization that hasn't had the great. He was one of the great free agent signings of all time, so you thought you were on your way.
Right.
And instead, I got to pick up the paper and read that they trade Chris Sale. See, the Sox and the Bulls, when their stars stand up for themselves. Now, I'm not going to say Chris Sale was right, but they had no leadership. Robin Ventura couldn't even be found when they had that issue in the clubhouse. And he's the one that let Adam the Roach's kid have the locker. And so did Kenny Williams.
Yep.
So when you see Chris Sale leaving, you know what he said? I want to win the World Series. This is clown town. And that's how the Bulls are run also.
So sad. So sad. All right.
Absolutely. And I was kidding you. Everything you said, Aldo, and I listened to it, was absolutely true. Because there's got to be somebody, and that was you and me today, that's going to say, get your lips. I mean, if you ask most Bulls fans about the future, they'll kiss the Bulls' ass and say, we're going to win in 3 years.
Oh,
it's the knowledge of the fans, because the propaganda of the newspapers and the media in this town that don't pound them enough, that has changed.
Great points, Mike North. It is time now.
That's what I'm paid to do. That's what I do, pal.
And you're paid to,
come on.
And you're also paid to make us some money, and that's what time it is right now.
All right, buddy. God. You know what? We had more laughs for 15 minutes of a Bull segment, a Bear segment, than we had in this whole damn show so far. Because we're so mad.
Yeah.
All right, pal.
This is a Chicago Bulls franchise that needs this harsh criticism for them to wake up and get the job done. So I'm glad that you're leading the way.
And who was happy for picks when Derrick Rose got picked? Me!
Yeah, me too.
You know who's happy for Pax when he picked up Jimmy Butler? Me.
Yes.
You don't compound the problem by, once Rose gets down, having a guy you develop like Jimmy Butler and let him walk.
Right.
You figure it out.
Figure it out.
You can't let everybody walk. Does anybody ever get saved by the Chicago Bulls? But I digress. We got NBA games tonight, my friend.
Okay.
All right.
So tell our audience how you're going to approach giving them advice on betting on NBA games now every Friday.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, this is brought to you by the Vrdoliak Law Group. Great people. Great, nice guys. Pete, Ed, all the group over there. Appreciate all, everything they've done. 844-485-4529. I plan on having dinner with them in about a week or two. 844-485-4529. And, of course, Tick Splits. And they got all sorts of stuff. They got the cheapest rates going, don't they, Aldo?
They do. If you want to go to a Bulls game after we blasted them, but you should go to a Bulls game and boo the heck out of them. If you want to go to a Bulls game, any other sporting event, if you want to go to a concert, if you want to go to a play and so forth, go over to TickSplits.com. They've got some great seats at great values. TickSplits.com. Take it away, Mike.
Where's Chris Dunn taking us? Hey, who's your point guard? We're going all the way. Chris Dunn. Seriously. I watched this guy, Levine, the other night. He has one good game, one bad game.
Yeah.
One hot game, one cold game. And he can't wait to throw the money at these guys. All right, here we go.
Okay.
I just got it under my skin. And then you read all the accounts, you know. I mean, Paxson took a few stitches yesterday, but he should have been knocked out.
He should have been knocked down.
Should have been knocked the hell out by somebody.
Yeah, I hear you.
He gets abrasive and then, all right, sorry. My God. All right, here we go.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep my composure. Anyway, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, and Naldo's going to love this. It's the Nets tonight. -8.5 versus the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, no.
Yes. Now, who's taking more criticism in the last 20 minutes, especially, but also the last few days, than the Chicago Bulls?
Okay.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yet. Yeah. The New York Nets, I mean, the New Jersey Nets or whatever, the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn,
or,
I think.
You know, your daddy's Nets. I don't know. The trampoline, you fall into the Nets. It's just, I don't. -8.5 against the Bulls. They're not even a 10-point favorite. Now, you know what? They've had a pretty good year. Brooklyn was on a rebuild for 1 year, and they're already better. I mean, I don't know how that happens. D'Angelo Russell, who was a bust, is now an all-star at Brooklyn. It's called maybe good coaching. And that's another thing. You have a coach that the fans don't have confidence in. Let me ask you something. Even if you brought in, I think right now, if you asked anybody, this is the truth. And this is like deciding between you want a bowl of vomit to eat or a bowl of dog crap. We take Fred Hoiberg back. We would take Fred Hoiberg back over this guy, over Hank Kingsley from the Larry Sanders Show. Hey, now. Anyway, I'm going to go with Hank and his guys tonight. I think the Bulls lose by 7. And then Paxton says after the game, we could have lost by 15. We're getting better. So I'm going to take the Bulls plus 8.5. Because the poor me victimization of John Paxson yesterday, I think will inspire the team to only lose by 6 or 7. So I'm going to take the Bulls to cover against the New Jersey. I mean, it's comical against the Nets, okay?
Okay, so the Nets, who are 29-27 and just recently snapped a 3-game losing streak with a win over the Nuggets, you have them not covering the -8 against our Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, and the Bulls, believe me, if you bet against them this year, you'd be making money. But if you doubled up and you bet, sometimes they're going to come up and give a representable game. I think Paxson getting his brains. I don't think they owe anything. I don't think the players feel like they owe anything to the front office. They owe it to themselves. But Boylan got off to a bad start. Doesn't matter. Paxson says the arrow's pointing up. The Bulls are still worth a lot of money. But at the end of the day, they're going to lose tonight. But I do like them to cover the 8.5. Also,
okay.
This is a tough one. Now, I think nobody knows this. The Milwaukee Bucks are the best team right now by record in the National Basketball Association. Okay?
Okay.
And the Mavericks are getting 7.5 at home. You know what everybody's going to say. They got that Doncic kid. They've been playing much better. I watched Doncic the other night. He had a so-so game, so expect him to have a big game. But, you know, the Mavericks, who have also gotten better, and still have Dirk Nowitzki. You know, I think it depends how you're going to view yourself. Dirk Nowitzki could have asked for a trade 5 years ago and gotten a ton more money somewhere, probably, and been a starter. You know what? I love him now. He's so comfortable with the fact he won an NBA title. He's been a multiple-time All-Star. He's one of the top 10 basketball players of all time, if you're just going to go statistically from minutes, games played, and everything else. You know what he says? I'll come off the bench for 15 minutes, coach. No problem. And he does the job, okay? But the fact that he's coming off the bench means that Dallas still has a lot of work to do. And I just think the Milwaukee Bucks right now at 40-13, playing the Mavericks 25-28, you would think the number would be closer. I got the Bucks -7.5. So we're going to start the NBA portion. The college games tonight, very few. Didn't like any of them. I almost gave a St. Louis for St. Joe's pick, but I just didn't like the lay of the land. This is a system. I don't want to pick the Bulls, just like I didn't want to pick a lot of teams in the NFL. Aldo knows this.
Yep.
But that being said, that's the pick tonight, along with the Milwaukee Bucks -7.5. And that's it for this portion of NBA picks.
Well, and I love the strategy that you're employing here, Mike. You look at all the games, you put it against your system, and you say,
right,
these are good bets. This I am going to give you guys, you listeners, some really strong bets that you can lay down some money with comfort. Of course, it's gambling, so anything can happen. But these are games that you have a high degree of confidence in.
Well, yeah, and you know, my record speaks for itself, and what I've done this year, and you know, I'm not going to ever. I don't take second fiddle. There's three things I did good in my life. No, four things. I married up. Okay.
Yes.
Big time. I was a great wiener slinger, and for people that don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Our hot dog stand was rated number one by USA Today, Rolling Stone magazine back in the 80s, against huge stands like the Varsity in Atlanta and others by USA Today, and we had a 750 square foot place. So that's two things. Mm. Number three, you could say whatever you want about me as a talk show host. As George G. Scott said in The Hustler, you're judged at the end of the day by how many wins you got and how much money you got. So I'm on the Mount Rushmore of talk shows. But now, to be one of the top handicappers in the country, to have four things you're great at in one lifetime, it's very hard to do. So I feel good. I think people should jump on the game. And by the way, for Bears Barroom folks, look tomorrow. I'll have a free pickup for Saturday and Sunday. It could be hockey, could be NBA, could be NCAA basketball. But I always want everybody to remember something, too. And I mean this. No matter how great you are, Paxson, You got to be humble, Paxson. You got to be humble. You didn't get the joke because I wasn't very humble. I'm just telling you. I got to say it because nobody else will. You think they're going, you know, we plug on the radio. You think they're going on? Hey, North was 18-1-1. Hey!
Listen, I think that you're the most humble guy here at Bears Barroom.
Well, that's true.
You've heard draft talk.
You know, I won't, but you know what? I think really the people that say they're humble are the ones that get mad when other people pass them up.
Yeah, true.
They're not so humble anymore.
How about that?
Yep.
Hey, we got a few minutes left here. I'd like to get.
I got all day.
Okay, good.
I got all day. We can talk about anything you want.
All right. So I wanted to get an update.
But you know what? I just want you to know I got to get going pretty soon because I got a train to take to Hawaii. So let me, let's get moving.
All right. Wanted to get an update on the Mike North autobiography movie. I know that you guys are still way in pre-production. In the scripting stage,
right.
I know a lot of the followers would love to know what's happening. Give us a quick update, if
well,
you don't mind.
Jeremy Moore, what I'm doing with this movie is we're going to keep everybody apprised. We're not going to come out of nowhere, which is sometimes a bad thing because there could be somebody out there trying to gum up the works.
Yep.
Believe me when I tell you this.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm so Jeremy Moore's and the screenwriters writing the first act. So we got through the first act. It's a three-act movie. That's how screenwriters reportedly do it. I don't know that much about it, but we feel that we got a strong first act. The ending's not the biggest part of the act, I found out. It's the middle. The beginning sets things up.
Right.
The middle really builds the story. And at the end, you know I'm alive. You know I didn't get killed in a car accident or anything like that.
That's right.
Unless the movie, I don't want to sound like James Dean before the one movie came out, Giant, and he wasn't even alive. But what I'm saying is, hopefully, the third act is the act that the middle act sells it. The third act legitimizes it. So. And tells you, basically, it's going to be a narrative. There's going to be a lot of major scenes. We're doing it in Chicago still. That's our plan. I talk to Jeremy every week. We got another meeting next week for an hour. And then we got the autobiography with me and you.
That's right.
Which we're on, I think we're going to letter I.
That's right.
Which is going to be an interesting letter. We're going to start that next week again because you're in the middle of writing the first chapter because we have to go see a man next week and he's going to read it over and he's a very esteemed publisher. So, we got a lot going on. And I still got my wish list of actors and stuff. You know what? Another guy's name got thrown in the mix.
Yeah, tell us who that is.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is?
Yeah, I know him. He's
a comedian.
Right, very funny guy.
Well, he's so funny. He's finishing radio. He just did radio, City Music Hall. He's playing stadiums. He's hilarious. He's done some movies. I guess he's in The Green Book, which is a movie about the 60s. It's a period piece. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. When my buddies call me and they go, we went to a movie to see this. I mean, I'm the guy that waits for the movie, but they went to see this movie. So it's being received real well, and he's supposed to be in it, so I'm going to go check that out. But I love his act, so he's another guy that's been thrown in the mix among the many. So we'll see what happens.
I think he's a Chicagoan, too, Sebastian.
Arlington Heights, buddy.
Yeah, there you go.
But I understand. I think it's Arlington Heights or Mount Prospect or something, and BB and I are big fans of his, so we'll see what happens because it depends how much money you got to spend, who's going to bring in money for you, how easy will it be to sell, I think Maniscalco would be an easy sell, but would he be easier than a Vince Vaughn? Would he be easier than a Ike Barinholtz? Would he be easier than we don't know.
He is on a comedy tour right now. I'm looking at his website, and he's going to be at South Bend, Indiana on February 21st. I'm looking at
Rockford. He's coming to Rockford, I think.
He'll be in Rockford on February 22nd for a couple of shows on a Friday. Peoria on February 23rd. If you want to see him earlier, he's in Maryland. If you want to drive out to Maryland, he's at Oxon Hill. Look at us giving plugs to.
Well, here's the thing that's really weird, though. Jiggets and I and the Score and the rest of the guys in 92 were so big. Mm-hmm. Really, the station was so big from there on for a long time that Baron Holtz listened, and he knows everything that I did, and Maniscalco mm-hmm. Heard it. So when you have local guys that understand already, and there's going to be guys that don't want to do it, and then there's going to be guys that do want to do it. I mean, I talked to him about a guy playing Danny Lee, and Kevin Pollak's name came up from A Few Good Men. He was Tom Cruise's right-hand man, if you remember, in that movie.
Excellent actor. Excellent actor.
Well, here's another thing. They didn't say he's easy to get, but he won't be difficult to get. In other words, he'll return a call because Adam told me, and Jeremy, he's a working actor.
Right.
So, you know, if it's a good script, he's not the guy that's the number one guy. But, man, from Grumpy Old Men to Grumpier Old Men when he played the son of Walter Matthau to A Few Good Men, I've interviewed the guy. I ran into him once at Caesars. I mean, so far, I mean, he'd be my guy.
I
just
got to
find out the age thing because I don't remember. We got to find out ages. It's a period piece. And, you know, at least I know this. A lot of the guys that I like will have their clothes from the 90s. Still.
Kevin Pollak is currently 61 years old.
Yeah, I think Danny Lee was about in his 50s. But Pollak looks younger.
Yeah.
I saw him in a movie recently, a later one. He's not as, I mean, you can't stay hot forever. But I do know this. Some of my favorite movies, he's in them. He's in them. From Grumpy Old Men to A Few Good Men to The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
He was in that, if I'm not mistaken. So he's pretty good.
When you say that he's a working actor, you ain't kidding. He's got 145 credits as an actor.
Right.
He currently is in 7 productions that are in pre or post production. So the guy is working his butt off. Good for him.
He's to me, I got a lot of respect for the guy. He's a stand-up comic. He does impersonations.
Mm-hmm.
But he's made a movie career where he said, look, you got a script for me, and it's going to pay me this much, and I'm going to be the set. I don't think Kevin's ever been the main guy. This would be one where he's one of the main guys. Because Danny Lee is a main guy in this movie, period. I just talked to Danny last night in Arizona. He's asking me how the things are coming along. So we're very excited.
Nice.
But I don't know if we'll get him, but I do know this. You just read that to me. I didn't know that. I hadn't looked that up. But that's what Jeremy told me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the movie people told me, that he's a working actor, and if you got a good script, a decent script, and he's got a decent part. He's not Marlon Brando. He wants to make money,
and he's one of those actors that he's just interesting. You know, when he's on the camera's pointed his way and he's talking, you listen. He's captivating. I think he's an excellent choice for Mr.
I'll give you an example. I'm watching Tombstone last night. There is no doubt in my mind, after all the Wyatt Earp movies, the one with Dennis Quaid as Doc Holliday, the one with Victor Mature as Doc Holliday, the one with Kirk Douglas as Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday dwarfs them. And these are very good actors, great actors, and Kirk dwarfs them, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't get, listen, a supporting actor, I don't believe, in that movie. But guys like David Paymer, now people may not know who David Paymer is. He was in a movie called Mr. Saturday Night with Billy Crystal.
Yep.
They're two brothers on the vaudeville tour back in the day.
Yep.
He was also in Payback with Mel Gibson.
Yep.
He's one of the guys that's a shady drug dealer. I don't know if people remember Crazy People. This guy is a character actor along the lines of a guy named Charles Durning, who was in The Sting as the Joliet cop.
Yep.
These guys just keep making movies, and most of them are good.
Yep. Absolutely. David Paymer, I'm looking at his at his IMDb page. 160 credits as an actor. Holy cow, this guy's made some money.
And a Best Supporting Actor nomination for Mr. Saturday Night, where I believe it's one of the underrated movies of all time with Billy Crystal. It's about a rift with brothers. Gee, how original is that? But it's how it happens. The one brother manages the other brother, and then they have a breakup, and there's bitterness. Check it out, Mr. Saturday Night. David Paymer's another guy that's one of those guys that's like Kevin Pollak. If it's a good script, I'm going to do it. I got to believe 140 movies. If it's a bad script, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
See,
I mean, he made more movies than they're making more movies than John Wayne.
Really? Really, that's true.
Or Liz Taylor or anybody. But see, those people would get a lot of money for the one movie.
Oh man, that's a, that, those
it's
are great.
Interesting talking to a. It's interesting talking to a Hollywood magnet like myself. You know, like I said the other day, Louis B. Mayer, David Selznick, Mike North. Put them together, folks.
I love it. Hey, I want to get back to that three act structure. Just say that. I totally agree with your team that says that the second act is the most important. But I got to also say that the first act is where you draw an audience in. Those first, in fact, the first act is usually about 30 minutes long. The second act is about an hour long, and then the third act is about a half hour long. That first act,
you might do a minute, you might do an hour or 90 minutes.
Right.
I don't want a 3-hour movie. I watched The Longest Day the other day, and it was the longest day. Longest thing I've ever watched. It was 3 hours. It's like it was the Gone with the Wind of the Army movies. We had John Wayne, Robert Mitchum,
oh my gosh,
Henry
Bond,
Sophia Loren riding a bicycle in a tight skirt back in 1944 at the beginning of the movie. So you're absolutely right. The narrative is built with the first act.
Right. So the first 5 to 10 minutes is what they usually call the hook, and that's where you hook the audience in. So I can't wait to see the first 5-10 minutes of the Mike North movie, because there's so much great material to hook an audience with. That's going
to
be awesome.
To be honest with you, if I could turn off 20% of the movie, it would be advisable for me, but it would be a seller. There's 20 minutes that are pretty rough. But that's what you got to have.
You got to.
If you're gonna do something, tell the truth. Yeah. That's all I've ever done.
Absolutely.
Sometimes to my advantage and sometimes not to my advantage, but that doesn't matter. I sleep at night, as you know, and I sleep good. And I never had to go on. Listen, I talked to a guy who said to me about, I talked to an agent about 5 years ago. And I said, well, how's it look for you on the political front with some of your guys? He goes, and I swear to God, he says to me, I won't name the agent, I won't name the guy. He goes, well, we got so-and-so, but he's a liberal. But he's just going to pretend he's a conservative. And he's going to go in and do the interview, and I know the people. Do you know the guy got the job?
Because he's a good actor?
Well, because he's decent at what he does is delivering. But my point is, he's under false pretenses. He's pretending in a lot of ways, not the whole way. I'm sure he's got some conservative views, but he's pretending to be a hawk. And he's not. And he works for but people can see through it. It's just like anything on TV. You call yourself a station for this or for that, and then you start reaching over to the other side, people sense that. You know what I mean? No matter what side you're from.
Well, but it works both ways. Like, for instance, I'll give you a name of an actor. James Woods, who is now a very controversial conservative. Yeah. He's been a liberal in some of the movies he played in, most famously the Oliver Stone movie, Salvador, where he plays...
Yeah, but that's a movie. That's not going on to you and giving opinions as a person. There's no doubt about it. If you want to go that way.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's people that are in war movies that would never even go to war if they were given the opportunity, including John Wayne. Yeah. So there's all sorts of contradictions. But when you're going on the air in any market and you're selling yourself as one thing and the agent tells me, well, he's the other way.
Gotcha.
That's different than reading the script.
Agreed. Totally, you know? Totally get you.
That would be like having a guy on Bear's Barroom, and all you keep hearing him talking about is how great the opposition is.
Yeah, he wouldn't find a home here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But see, if you say to somebody, I really like your work, well, I'm really not a Bears fan. Yeah, but you know what? Maybe you can become one He goes, no doubt about it. I'll sell it. And he's not. Inside, he's hoping Green Bay kicks our ass, but he's making the bucks. That happens all the time.
That's very true.
All you have to do is look at the people that work at Fox News, and then they get fired, and then they end up at CNN, MSNBC, or one of those shops, or the other way around.
That's exactly. Very true. I watched the news show this morning where two former Fox News hosts were on for the station.
Right.
So, yeah, very,
absolutely,
very true.
Because they think those people brought in the numbers. It's the way the stations are run. Like, look. I don't watch a lot of her, but if Rachel Maddow's bringing in numbers, it's not because of her guests. It's because of her.
That's right.
If and I've always said this, Seth Mason, who was a music guy, but then helped build one of the greatest sports radio station of all time, The Score.
Right.
I said to him one time, I go, you think we should get more guests? He goes, I didn't hire you for guests. That people are tuning in to hear you. But, you know, you have guests to break things up for content, but I'll guarantee you this. I did 19,000 interviews, and 17,000 of them I could care less about
right.
at the end of the interview. Right. You know, you just got to get the information out, hear from the athletes. But the score was built on the host.
Right.
It wasn't built on whether Brad Biggs is going to come on or you know, you're going to get John Paxson on once a year or something like that. It was built on the people that actually were on every day.
You need stars to run a radio, TV network, whatever it is. People tune in to Mike North's show to listen to Mike North. People tune in to Oprah to listen to Oprah. People tune in to The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson to listen to Johnny Carson. Yeah, they would have guests and from time to time, but it is that host that brings people
right,
back.
Right, I mean, you know, Johnny Carson was so good that he'd have guests on. Guarantee you 5 out of 6 of them I could care less about.
Absolutely.
I wanted to see Johnny Carson. But when Dean Martin came on, or when Bob Hope came on, or when Liz Taylor came on.
Don Rickles.
Okay, now you got the big guest. But see, if you have hosts that are average and you don't have a good guest list, then you're in trouble.
Yep.
Because now you're complicating things. It's tough to listen to certain shows with the hosts. Now you're not bringing on good enough guests. So that's the double whammy. You got to be good enough where you're going to stand on your own in case you never have another guest again. I mean, period. Do I like guests? Hey, if you heard Jimbo Colbert with me the other night, with you, he was as good as he's ever been.
Absolutely.
He was as good as he's ever been, and he was honest.
Absolutely.
And he told the truth. And he made it sound, at the end of the day, although, like, you know, there's some things I could have done to help promote myself.
Yep.
And he knew about everything.
Right.
But you know what? If the guest was okay, it's up to the host to make the guest better.
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And so that's going to happen again this upcoming Monday where you're going to have a special guest for us. Now, we're not going to tell anybody who that is.
I had Jimbo Colbert on last week. We had Andy Furman the week before in our soft opening. Then we had Jimbo Colbert, and I said, here, we did our tweaks. You know, radio stations will send emails back and forth. We got to do this. Now we got to fight that. It took us 2 minutes to tweak a couple things on the show. And now this guest coming up is going to be as big a powerhouse as Jimbo. That's all I can tell you.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Listen.
And he may not necessarily be a bear. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Interesting.
But he could.
Great tease.
Well, that's what I like to do. That's what I like to do, throw the tease out there.
You big tease,
I'm
Mike
the girl
North.
That says, hey, I'm with you for life. I'm the girl at the bar that says, the guy at the bar that says, I'm with you for life. And then 2 minutes later, you're gone. Where are you? Where'd you go?
And Mike, I went to a strip bar once, and the stripper
once?
Told me that. Yeah, once.
Me too.
Before I was married.
Me too, in the 60s. I don't want to be kind. Look, can I just say one thing?
Yes, sir.
I watched white-faced comedy last night. I'm not white. I watched a white-faced production last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Kiss was great. My God. By the way, can I just say I French kissed CeCe Crook in seventh grade. I hope it doesn't come back to haunt me.
All right, Mike North, say goodbye to your followers.
Could be goodbye forever. Who knows? No, we'll be back Monday, my friends.
Monday.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Love the Bears Bar Room. Love the chat board. Love everybody. And yes, he is Aldo Gandia. So long, everybody.